Chapter 14. Strike at the Heart. Akuyan Villa, Predi City. General Okan Akuyan's meeting with subordinates in his family's villa was unusual, but so was the situation. One of his teeth had become too decayed to save and had to be extracted. Because the Predi medicant, a fervent convert to the Nathani god Narth, would perform the procedure, he recommended repairing two other teeth with minor cavities. The medicant had also suggested using some of the limited supply of the new substance ether, captured in a raid on a Metok coastal abbey, along with a Kadeli medicant to explain its use. The surviving Predi medicants and the Narthani medical staff were excited about the potential of ether, though none knew where it came from or how to make it. They put finding out on a priority list, once the island was firmly under Narthani control. In return, the knowledge of drilling and filling tooth cavities with mercury alloys had already transferred in the other direction and spread across the island. While Akuyan felt tempted to use ether for the unpleasant session in store, Rabia discouraged the ether being tested on the mission commander, her husband, because the medical staff didn't have enough experience to know about any side effects. The medicant had carried out the procedure the previous day, and Akuyan was still unsteady on his feet. Rabia failed to convince him to take 2 days' rest at home. He compromised by agreeing to limited meetings if the other men came to the villa, instead of his going to the headquarters building in Predi City. The meeting this day was small. Only Ivak Zalfa and Sadek Hizer joined Akuyan in the courtyard so he could enjoy the sun. All staff members and family had been warned to stay well out of hearing of the three men sitting at a garden table.
"You've had time to discuss options," asserted Akuyan carefully, his jaw visibly swollen. "Let's hear the plan the two of you have agreed on for eliminating some of the Kadeli headmen."
"I'll let Ivak summarize," said Hizer. "His men will carry out the operations with the help of my agents in place."
"The plan depends on Sadek's agents," said Zalfa. "Both for information and, in several cases, to guide my men through the countryside, for which we have little, if any, details. Our previous attempts on the Stenton Hewell headmen failed, so we both agree that for this to be a serious attempt, we need more planning and to use more than one or two agents in place. I was in favor of 6 to 8 man teams, then Sadek gave good arguments for more, and we settled on 20 men. Enough to account for injuries and handle the number of guards likely to be present, but not so many men as to be too noticeable."
Zalfa pulled a single sheet map of Kadelium out of a pouch, turned it around to General Akuyan's view, and pushed it toward him.
"The main factors in selecting targets are our perception of the importance of any individual hetman and his clan and the hetman's location. Since the teams can't be running around trying to find the hetmen, we have to rely on hitting them at their residences in the capitals. Clans with inland capitals are different propositions than those on the coast. The latter allow the most straightforward operational plans. The strike team will land at a remote location not too far from the city. Our agents will meet them, provide detailed maps and information on what to expect as far as security, and guide the team to the target. The agents won't take part in the strike and will blend back into the population. The lack of up-to-date information will mean that a strike may be aborted at any point if the agents or strike leaders determine it's not feasible. We don't see these as suicide missions. Our men will have reasonable chances of getting out in the end. The teams will also not come ashore without the proper go-ahead from the agent. For example, every targeted hetman might not oblige by being in the expected place in the capital on the day of the attacks. We need to carry out all attacks on the same night, so there will be no warnings by semaphore to the other hetman until the next morning. If the hetman is absent or surrounded by unexpected levels of security, or for any other reason the details change about the target's availability, then the agent will signal the ship that the strike is scratched. The target at an inland capital presents a more difficult challenge. The distance from landing to the capital is too far for the team to attempt the strike the same night they land. They'll have to come ashore several nights earlier. Returning to the coast will likewise be more difficult than for coastal targets. Stealth will no longer be a concern, so they will travel as fast as possible, using the same wagons or available wagons and horses. To slow alarms going out by semaphore, once the strike is made, the team or agents will destroy one or more semaphore stations heading in the direction of withdrawal. An obvious problem is that it will take the agents most of a day to reach the extraction point, although once there, they can be taken back aboard ships even in daylight, since the Navy can support any landing. The same restrictions on whether to continue will apply for the inland strike. The agents and team leaders can call off the attack if conditions make success impossible.
The men, especially those carrying out the inland attacks, are fully aware of the danger, asked Kuyin. If things go badly, it will be best if they aren't taken alive, even if the Cadeli are inclined to take prisoners.
By now, Oaken, I've talked with every team leader individually to be as satisfied as I can be. They, in turn, have screened the volunteers for the most loyal and those of the strongest mettle. Realistically, it might be too much to think none will be captured, but if they are, it will be beyond their control.
Akuya nodded, then looked down again at the map. And the targets? Are they still those we've discussed?
Yes, said Hizer. We've selected two of the 11 clans with coast capitals, Skooks and Bevans. We picked Skooks because our agent reported discord among their boymen about going to Morlun's aid, so there's a chance we can sow more confusion. Also, they may be one of the more unsuspecting, since they are so far from Pretty. We would have preferred Farkish, because our agent reports the Farkish Hetman is moving to support a united front against us, and he's influential with the other northern clans. However, we haven't been able to pin down his movements. Bevans was chosen because we wanted one more coastal target, and it's located on a section of the coast we haven't raided yet, so they shouldn't be too alert.
Akuyan drummed the fingers of his left hand on the tabletop. What about the inland target, Keelan?
His air gestured to the Cadellian map.
Arguably the most important, but also the most difficult. Of the 7 inland capitals, only 3 are priority targets, Keelan, Oros, and Stent. Keelan and Stent, because they are 2 of the strongest clans, best led and most committed to opposing us. Oros would be another logical target, since their hetman chairs their clan hetman meetings and tries to promote clan amity. However, our agent reported that the Oros hetman's residence is in the middle of Oros City, which has formidable walls, a leftover from a distant hetman who loved building fortifications. Of all the hetman, Keelan is the most important. Both Iwal and Narthani witnesses from Morlun City confirm it was Keelan Banners, and presumably the hetman himself, who lured Iwal into abandoning their flank screening position and trapped the Iwalese in a brilliantly performed ambush. Then it was the 3 allied clans, Keelan, Midak, and Gwilimer, that carried out the attack that collapsed our right flank. We still don't have evidence to support our initial suspicion of outside advice, providing the tactical sense the Cadeli shouldn't have. Despite what seems a likely explanation, there is one argument against it. The Morlun clan sacrificed themselves as decoys to divert our attention.
Given the independent nature of the clans and the reported antipathy of other clans toward Morland, particularly the Hetman, I find it difficult to believe Morland acted deliberately. In that case, we would attribute the outcome to what? Asked Akuyan. A confluence of errors? Chance? Hizer shrugged. I'm just stating a reservation to the outside influence theory. However, if my suspicion is correct, then it points an arrow even more so at Keelan. It was the failed Buldorian raid on the Keelan Abbey that preceded the Buldorians leaving for home. We never found out why that raid ended so badly, only the short report by our local agent that it had been a disaster for the attackers. If the Keelan Hetman is that important, should we consider increasing the size of the strike team for Keelan? Akuyan inquired. I'd like to, said Zelfa. Even doubling or tripling it, though the arguments for keeping the number at 20 still holds. More men equals more risk of detection. Stent is also important and was originally on our target list, Hizer continued. They are the strongest clan in Western Cadelium and influential with Pewit and Swavebrook. Both of those clans surprised us by coming to Morland's aid, we think probably because of Stent. Stent also led the attack on our base camp at Pathmul. The clans got there before word arrived of our withdrawal and the warning to be alert. We were surprised that they attacked a position in Iwal territory. I believe I'm getting weary of hearing the word surprise when we reflect on our previous assumptions about the Cadeli and the outcomes of our efforts, said Akuyan, his irritation real, stoked by his aching jaw. No more than Ivex and I, said Izair.
Unfortunately, we had to scrap plans for a strike at Stent, said Zelfa. He spends too much time away from his residence and is almost always surrounded by too many men.
Izair sat back. That's the summary, Orkan. Three teams to attempt to kill three hitmen. If only the Keelan team is successful, I would call it a success, though I'll be pleased if any of the three strikes succeeds. However, even if none of the three succeeds, it will force the clans to tighten internal security and will sow confusion, giving them a sense of not knowing when and where we might strike next. Perhaps, said Akuyan, though our experience at Moreland City makes me cautious about predicting the clan's responses. Still, I can't think of a good rationale not to proceed.
Akuyan looked at the map once more, then pushed it back across the table to Zelfa.
All right. Go ahead with alerting the agents and training the teams. They may all be good men, but they haven't worked together before, since they were picked from different units. We have time before we commit to this, so they'll have some months to train together. That might seem like an excessive focus on training, but this will be a one-time operation. After the first failed attempts, and now these more serious assassination tries, the islanders are bound to increase Hetman security enough to preclude more attempts.
Zelfa and Hizer detected the undertone of distaste from Akuyan. The commander preferred direct combat, rather than tactics such as assassination. But both also knew he wouldn't hesitate if it was effective in completing their mission and conserving the lives of their men.